Good evening. Happy Kwanzaa. This is KBOO 90.7 FM, and you're listening to Proverbial Perspectives. At least that's what the series has been called for a long time, and for those of you who have been listening to this show, it is KBOO Proverbial Perspectives, but we are honored tonight to be part of a series that we're going to be doing from now until the elections next year, call Community Forum on the Political Process. And we're happy this evening to have some special guests with us that will be sharing in discussions about the political process from various perspectives. And the idea is that we're aiming to try to get a little bit the audience a little bit more informed about the various aspects that are involved in the political process, not just only candidates and issues, but try to give a whole context so that people kind of have a better understanding of what it's all about. This evening, we are honored to have, to my right, Lou Frederick.
Hello there. Glad to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me.
And to his right, we have special guest, also,
Sue Hagmeier.
Yes. And to her right, we have somebody who is probably pretty familiar to most of you, Lou Kenbody.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
And another special guest, so we can get some insight about how political issues and movements are developed. And so we have Miss Anna Gallaud. But you say it, you go ahead and pronounce it correctly.
No, that was great. It's Anna Gallaud. Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And just want to remind our listeners that later on in the show, there will be time for call-in. So if you're kind of listening and different ideas, comments, or questions come to your mind, maybe jot your ideas and your questions down so that you remember them if we get pretty carried away in the dialogue, and so that you can call in, and then we can have some two-way kind of conversations between not only us here at the station, but all you people out there listening to us. So we will now begin with our process, and I'll just start with we're going to touch on a variety of different topics, but we just want to talk with Mr. Lou Frederick, since he's brand new to the political process.
Well,
at least in terms of running for office.
In terms of running for office, but
right.
Not brand new to the political process. I was talking with someone the other day. I guess I've actually been doing something since I was about 9 years old, where I went dealing with demonstrations or doing civil rights issues and things like that in the South. So I've been in the process for quite some time, and it's been a different role each time. And
a different role.
This is a new role. This is deciding to go out and actually get elected by the people of North and Northeast Portland, and that's my effort right now.
And we'll be following some more up on that, but I wanted to kind of get our audience a chance to kind of get a feel for each one of you here. And so tell us what, just briefly, Ms. Hagemeyer, some of your experience with the political process.
I'll just go back a decade and a half or so. I got involved with advocacy in schools for certain special needs kids, and then I got involved in also the school funding area, and then I ran for the school board, and I sat on the school board for 8 years, and since then I've gotten involved in the partisan politics side of things.
Right, very good. Thank you very much, Mr. Boddy. How do you approach, and what's been your approach to things political over the years?
Well, as you know, I've been a reporter here in the Portland area since 1982. Covered a lot of political races. First of all, I have to say I'm not running for anything. Go back to work and continue to broadcast. But covered a lot of interesting politics in this town and in this state over the years. I've covered City Hall when I was over at Channel 12, which is now Fox 12. But I worked there before it was Fox. It was just Channel 12 back then, KPTV. And since I've been at COIN, covered a lot of political issues over the years, including the state legislature and a number of special sessions within the legislature. So I've always had an interest in politics, although I've never had a desire to run, so I applaud what Lou is doing. But I just have a lot of interest in the political process as an observer and a reporter.
Well, thank you very much. And also, as you can see, as we've been going around, we're really approaching this topic subject from a variety of different angles. And now Ms. Gallaud was going to tell us about one of the angles that we're particularly interested in, about political movements and campaigns that are focused in particular areas. How did you come to be involved in the political world?
I think it's sort of something that goes back to where your values are. So I grew up in Chicago, went to school in Rhode Island, and ended up in Oregon. But wherever you go, young people, especially who are passionate about seeing the world improved, I think have a responsibility and a passion to actually do something about it, not just to sit around complaining, but to go out, communicate with our peers who might be less engaged, and find ways to make connections and make real change. So I've been involved since I've been here in Oregon with a number of projects, especially engaging young people, folks under the age of 35. Sorry for the folks out there who might not make the official young cutoff. You're still young at heart. That's all right. But with the Young Voter Project during the 2004 election, we really saw the difference that folks under 30 can make in major elections in the state of Oregon. Here, that election between Bush and Kerry was decided by a margin of 70,000 votes, which sounds like a lot, but in a state with 3 million people, that's not so much. And a lot of people don't know that the same time, 70,000 people who were first-time voters participated in that election. So people who were majority under the age of 30, majority in the Multnomah County area, really helped to decide one of the pivotal elections in our lifetimes that a number of us put a lot of energy into working on.
Yeah, that's real important, and many of us around this table have been very keenly aware about how important it is for people at all ages, but particularly the younger ages, to be engaged as soon as possible. I remember when I was in college, and I was involved with a lot of political process down in California, and when I was trying to talk to other students about, different elections or different issues, a lot of times college students would make comments like, I'll get involved in that after I graduate.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always underlining that if you're not doing it now, chances are you're not going to probably get too involved too soon just because of the graduation. And so these things that we're facing in America and in various cities and various states are often issues that can't wait, and they really need involvement. So I'm really pleased to hear how early you started, and it seems like most of us did get started. A good 9 years old?
Well, 9 years old, because I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana at the time, and it was in the middle of the civil rights movement, and so you got involved with things then, and you just did, you marched and you talked with people, and you went to Montgomery Ward's lunch counters and were not served, and you found out that you had to, for me it was the whites only signs were out there, and it was very clear in throughout the South when I was growing up there. So those are the kinds of things that I ran into. But what's been exciting is to, I should give some disclosure because I'm on the board for the bus project, but
right,
the bus project
is the
group that that Anna's involved with as well. And they are, it's exciting to see them because they are in fact deciding that they're going to take on the world. They want to make some changes, and they're going to do it in a very sophisticated manner. I think when it's interesting to watch the growth of that. They have done a number of things that are really very, not just for the moment. They want to build something. And so they're in the process of doing sometimes very large projects that build things and sometimes very small things. And they've sent buses around the state,
mm-hmm.
to canvass and to help candidates around, as well as to listen to people and see what the questions are out there.
When you were making the comment just a minute ago about the difference between things that are addressing political issues just for the moment as opposed to building things. So could you touch on that a little bit more?
Well, a good example of that is in January they're going to have a thing called Engage Oregon. Actually, it's a, what is it, what else? It's another.
It's a rebooting democracy.
That's
the
right.
Phrase we've been throwing around a lot.
And, mm-hmm. It's going to be a conference, but it's a conference not just to say, okay, this is an issue that we need to deal with. These are the issues that we need to deal with, but these are the ways that we're going to go about it. We're going to train people so that they understand how to be effective in talking with people and getting folks involved and engaged.
Right.
That's a different approach.
And one interesting thing about the conference, it's as Lou said, the bus does a lot of different things. My particular program that I focus on is really a grassroots, peer-to-peer, neighborhood-based project, mm-hmm. Where we've been recruiting and training folks to take responsibility for their own backyard, for their own building, for their own neighborhood. I know every election cycle we get used to people standing out on a street corner with a clipboard asking us to sign something, which is an important part of the democratic process too, but we've got to get back to neighbor-to-neighbor contacts and relationships if we're really going to be engaged and educated on the issues that we're voting on in these elections. And the conference that we mentioned is a chance for folks who really want to go deeper into the issues to hear from a variety of groups about the ballot measures that they are proposing for 2006, from a variety of different progressive groups that are putting things out there around education, around healthcare, around the environment, around the right to organize, all sorts of issues. And folks at the conference will have a chance to learn more and to choose with voting with their time and maybe with their money on which ones they're going to support going forward. So it's really a small D democratic process to allow folks to take ownership of the ballot measures and ballot initiatives that have come to really dominate our election cycles in Oregon.
You know, since we've been sitting here, we've used the word engaged a number of times, and mm-hmm. I think that that's important that people do remain engaged in the process, because it's often common that some cynicism can set in, that you think that there's not much that you can do and all of them are the same. Lou, I know you hope to be one of them, but
sometimes, I have no problem saying that I'm involved with that right now. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that, especially in Oregon, since we have the initiative process, since people can actually bring forward legislation that actually changes people's lives, it's especially important in a state like Oregon to stay involved, not only from the citizen standpoint, but from our standpoint as well, the media,
right.
Making sure that we're aware of the issues and the things that are important to people.
Right. And we've watched, I mean, when I was a reporter, I watched a number of different movements and different ideas come and go, often because they weren't able to be able to sustain the kind of interest. And we, you know now how to do that and how to do it in a better way. And so the folks at the Bus Project are doing that with they're not just young people, officially chronologically young people who are involved. There are a lot of older progressives and other folks who are there saying we want to keep this going. We want to make sure that this is going to be sustained long after people move along. So that's what you see with the Bus Project there.
Absolutely. And I would also say one interesting thing, the media role has been so apparent to me in the democratic process. All the folks who care about the different issues that we want to move are out there doing our work, and the media in many ways is our watchdog. Just today, a number of news organizations are covering this breaking story about the abuse of the, I don't know if folks remember Measure 26, which was the ballot measure back in the day that outlawed the practice of paying signature gatherers by the signature. And so instead, people have to be paid for their efforts gathering signatures by the hour. And just today, there's breaking news about some folks who are affiliated with the group FreedomWorks who had been sending out signature gatherers and paying them by the signature. And there's some terrific media coverage of this coming up tonight, I hope, on COIN as well as anything else. And just to say that it's keeping us all honest, that's one of the roles of the media, I think, as well.
And it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I like this notion that you picked up on just a minute ago when you're referring to the term engagement, because I see a relationship between that and what the two of you are saying about building a movement. In other words, as opposed to just getting people excited about a single issue and then walking away, but building a kind of a sense of involvement, engagement, and that's a part of their life. That's one of the things that I've spent a lot of time over the years myself pondering and wondering about and talking and asking people about when you talk about an election or talk about a candidate or an issue, all too often they see that as one little segment of time and space and energy, and once elections are over, then they feel like, okay, I've done that, and then I don't need to pay any attention anymore. And it sounds like with your referring to building a movement, building a sense of belonging, building the engagement where people are seeing that being involved in political affairs could and should be just as much a part of their life as their habits with just reading, or their habits that having to do with enjoying entertainment, or in other words, not as just some compartmentalized part off here that you do every 2 years or 4 years or something, but something that's an ongoing process. Could you all like to speak to that idea? Susan?
Well, what I was thinking about was, again, talking about engagement. One of the things that you hear around the Bus Project a lot is how we may be more likely these days to live next door to somebody of a different color compared to us. But we are less likely to live next door to somebody we disagree with. Politics is all about relationships, and people don't necessarily identify themselves with where they live as closely as they did in the 50s. They may feel a closer affiliation with their church, with where their kid goes to school, all of which may be across town.
Mm-hmm.
But people are more likely to vote with their friends than in many cases with their own self-interest.
Yes.
It's not necessarily an understanding of the issues that can come, but the relationships are like the building blocks of politics.
Yes.
And I think so. In order to engage people in politics, you have to build relationships, and across many of the lines that we've drawn. I mean, many of the ways that we divide ourselves up, whether it's by age, whether race, whether political
occupation,
or whatever.
Right.
Do you think that holds true with issues and candidates?
To some extent, yes.
I think one of the challenges on that front is, and thinking about building movements, is that one of the cornerstones of building a movement is finding common values even across perceived differences, whether it be between rural and urban Oregon, between young voters and older voters. One of the useful tools that I've found in thinking about the components of a movement is a triangle that I learned from the group called Wellstone Action, which is based in Minnesota, that does a terrific job training folks on just how to organize effectively and smartly and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, they draw a picture of a triangle, and imagine on the top of the triangle is the policy work that the movement is doing, the agenda that we set for affordable health care, for the environment, for affordable housing, for all the different things that we care about, right?
Yes.
Then on one other corner of the triangle is the grassroots movements, the community organizations, the activists, independent activists, the community radio, the KBOOs of the world that are holding the spirit of the agenda that the policymakers are trying to enact. And then on the third corner of the triangle are the elected officials, the folks like Lou when he gets elected, who are in the position of deciding and leading and really setting a forward-thinking public interest agenda. And that it's unless you have the grassroots community organizations holding the elected officials accountable with a platform that's real and substantial and speaks to people's values across difference, there's no way we're going to have a movement that's going to continue into the next decade. But with that, we surely will.
Right. I'd like to get back to one of the kind of themes that we touched on to begin with, which is youth. How do you see about trying to really reach youth to fit into the triangle?
Go ahead.
Sue was talking about it, I think, in many ways. It is that relationship. It is creating a relationship so that they understand that they are, in fact, part of the community, rather than dealing with things in terms of a two-dimensional aspect. I've been lucky enough to work with a lot of young people over the years, and the key element is when you are talking with folks and you recognize that they are accepted and that their opinions are being taken seriously and that they are not in a two-dimensional status, that they are not just those kids and they're not just those teenagers or even the college students. That they're dealing with major issues. As I walk around and do my door-to-door things, I find myself talking with lots of young people, and then I talk with all sorts of other folks too. And one common thread is something they'll be talking about at Engage Oregon is the healthcare issue. But for young people, many of them, especially age 18 to 30 or so, have no healthcare. They have no insurance.
Is this a concern to them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, healthcare ends up being the major thing that I run into when I'm talking with people. It's the common thread.
Absolutely.
And so they find themselves if they go up and go skiing or something and they break their leg, they are stuck because they have no insurance to help them and they can't get to their jobs and they may be just a paycheck away from being tossed out of their apartments.
Right.
But healthcare is a common thread. And if you're able to sit down and talk with folks and say, okay, what are the major issues here? You find out that they aren't the distracting issues that some folks would like to have them be distracted by. They are, in fact, the very clear common concerns that you have for young people and for the rest of the community.
And that's one of the reasons why you have to demonstrate relevance.
Right.
And when you used your example about, well, if they go up skiing, they break their leg, they might not have insurance, you immediately see the relevance in that. So that's part of the role of both the folks who are involved in politics
right.
and the folks who observe it, like myself, is to say that if people are going to be engaged, then you have to demonstrate why being involved in politics is relevant to their lives. If you can do that, then you have a better chance of them being a participant.
And the other thing that comes right out of that same thing is something that both of you and all of you have kind of referred to already, is that in addition to the relevance, it's a way of reaching across some of the perceived segmentation or barriers and so forth, because that's something that can go across economic groups, it can go across gender groups, it goes across age, goes across ethnicity and so forth. So that way, that you're constantly reinforcing the same kind of momentum.
Mm-hmm. I think, one interesting thing last election was different during the 2004 election. I keep saying it as if everyone remembers, but it's been a little while now, but it was a big deal in the world. One interesting thing that happened was different groups tried to target populations of voters using very specific kinds of approaches. So you had punk voter going out to only punk shows and looking for kids with mohawks and piercings, and having kids with mohawks and piercings talk to other kids with mohawks and piercings and get them engaged. You had the hip-hop voter drive that the Bus Project did last time, where it was using cultural expression as a form of engaging people in the political process. And all that for sure has a place, and we need to keep doing it. It's one of the reasons that we're doing the Building Blocks, Building Votes program, in order to take one form of what people identify with. Okay, that's someone from my neighborhood. I get that. That is compelling to me. Someone from my neighborhood is coming to me with a nonpartisan message saying that I need to participate in the political process. Okay, I can. But as you're saying, I think, Wiley, it's like there's other ways to reach people than being the same as them. And as long as you're demonstrating relevance and talking about how these issues are important to their lives and really engaging them in a powerful way in making the different changes that we want to see, then that's what works.
Just want to remind our listeners that this is KBOO 90.7 FM, and this is Community Forum on the Political Process, and we want to remind people that you can call in, and we'd like to hear from you so that we could share and respond to some of the insights and questions that you may have. So don't hesitate to go ahead and call our number to do this.
Oh, no. There was no magical moment there. I think it actually built. Sue Hagmeier and I started in September 2003 doing a program called Democracy for America Meetups at Billy Reed's once a month, first Wednesday of every month. And we gathered people there to talk politics because we were looking at issues that were national in scope and international in scope. We began to work on those kinds of things and talk about them, and we've had as few as 15 and as many as 150at these meetings. So you just never know who's going to be there and how they want it, what they want to talk about. And they write letters, and we hear speakers, and we do all sorts of things. But at a certain point, it built. I can say, the 9-year-old was watching things and just part of the group. The 12-year-old was I was a lawsuit for the state of. For the Atlanta Board of Education, a federal lawsuit there. And then later on I got involved as a teacher and then as a reporter covering things and saying this is what's going on, and then directly involved in working with schools, et cetera, and talking about what was going on in the school district. But at a certain point I said, I could not sit back and not help make the decision.
Yes.
And that's where it came down to. It came down to a point of me saying, all right, what is it that I need to be able to do here? What is it that I think will help the community? And I had a number of people pushing me along because I had been pushing them along, telling them that they needed to run for office, and they finally looked at me and said, okay, and?
Your turn.
Your turn, exactly. Moment. And then I said, okay, now, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to need your support, and they said, we'll do that. It is a different experience, though, than what I expected. I've got to tell you, as a reporter, I thought of it in one way, but there are other things that are going on there, too. So I made a decision that I wanted to help the community, that I live in the community, that it is my role, it is my time to make this step and to actually take an action. And that's what I've decided to do.
And it sounded like, and I'm sure it might be true for many, many people, a building process.
Yes.
I mean, in other words, one of the things I got out of what you were saying is that it was exemplifying the fact that there are different levels of political engagement. And sometimes those are more appropriate for various age levels, and then they're more appropriate for having developed to certain degrees of understanding about things and keeping building all along. Is that kind of what you've been seeing Ms. Gellin?
Yeah, I mean, I would say for sure that there's at different stages in your life, there's different ways that you can take a leadership role in making a positive change in our community. Lou's been here for a while. He knows the community super well. He knows the issues that he cares about super well. People know him. It's a logical step for him. For young people in Portland, I would say the minimal thing that we should be doing, the basic activity that we ask folks from the Bus Project to do, is to take care of registering their friends and neighbors to vote and making sure that they're engaged in the process. That is fundamental. That's being a citizen in this society. That's caring about the future.
Very fundamental.
And that's why we call it the Building Blocks Program. It's a building block. It's the first step in building up towards where we want to go. It's a nonpartisan program, I should also say. From there, there's a multitude of different ways that you can see people getting involved. The conference Engage Oregon, which I should say engageoregon.net is the website. People should go take a look and sign up.
.org.
I think it might be both, but yeah, okay. .org is the one on the flyer, so let's go with that one. But that's a place for people also to do this word that sounds to me like a corporate, like martini bar or something, but networking. But that's a real thing in movement building, is getting to know people who are involved and educated on different issues, and getting to meet folks like John Kitzhaber and other leaders past and present.
I'm going to let you hold for a second. I can see from our engineer, Ms. Judy Feistel, who's ably assisting us from behind the scenes, that we have a caller. And so let the caller come in. Caller, are you there?
Yeah. Am I connected?
Yes, we hear you now, nice and clear.
Well, I'd like to ask about national government and U.S. citizens, but I'd like to share my one-liner on my understanding.
Go right ahead.
There was a war against an empire, Great Britain, wherein a bunch of colonies in North America...
You're going to need to talk a little bit louder.
All right. Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of colonies in North America that broke off from Great Britain. And each of those colonies became independent and a separate nation state. And then they came together and had a thing called a Constitutional Convention and formed the United States as kind of an umbrella organization that had specific delegated powers, right? Remember that? The United States was not a sovereign nation in as much as it was created by the several independent nation states, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, etc. A bunch of us in other places all joined up with this umbrella organization called the United States. But most of us live in a state, which is synonymous, a state like, it's the state of Great Britain was a state, we all live in these independent states. I live in this nation state called Oregon. I'm an Oregonian, and I'm distinctly not, I've never lived in any place called the United States, nor was I naturalized in any of those places.
You know, I don't want to rush you along, but it's taking a good bit of time to get to your point, and we're trying to see how it articulates with our topic of community political process.
I want to develop a community here in Oregon where Oregonians can vote. At this point, I know that my elections office, or the elections office in Portland, only allows people who are United States citizens to vote. And I know that in the United States Constitution, it is the state citizens who are supposed to vote. But I'm not allowed to vote as an Oregonian. And I'd like to meet other people who are Oregonians who want to vote.
Why is he not allowed to vote?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not an.
Because I'm an Oregonian, and the elections office. When I went down to change my voter registration at one point, I became aware that I had been signing up as I certify under penalty of perjury. I'm a U.S. citizen, and I said, "Oh, I just realized I'm an Oregonian. Can I just vote as an Oregonian? And they said, sure. And I said, okay, well, let me just take this one out. Let me put a pen line through United States citizen and write in Oregonian.
I don't think we're quite understanding what you're coming from. You have to be a citizen of the United States.
But see, I wasn't born in any place called the United States.
Where were you
born?
And
I was never naturalized in any place called the United States. I was born in the independent state of Missouri. And I know it is one of the independent sovereign nations.
Well, I don't know if we can follow this line of thinking. It really doesn't fit with our topic area. It sounds
just doing voter registration, right, as a fundamental building block of society.
Sure.
And the point is, the point is for you that, in fact, you can vote in Oregon and you can vote in the United States. And because Missouri is part of the United States, you are a U.S. citizen. Now that you're living in Oregon, if you live in Oregon, you can now vote in Oregon on local issues in Oregon, both state and local issues here in Oregon.
If I go to
we're gonna say goodbye to you, but it was a very interesting conversation. Maybe if you get
let's study this thing about who United States citizens are sometime and have a show on that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your call. By the way, this is KBOO 90.7 FM. And we had a very interesting civics lesson a moment ago.
You know,
lesson as well.
Right. One thing I would say, that got a little bit into the philosophical realm of, I guess, disagreeing with being a United States citizen instead of an Oregonian. I think that was the fundamental issue. But just to return to where most people are, I think it's important to point out that if you live in the state of Oregon, even if you are a felon that has been released from jail, even if you are a student, even if you just moved here yesterday, even if you are 17 and going to be 18 on election day, in all these cases, you can register to vote, and that is actually, I think, 99% of the people in the state, that's what's important to them, is knowing that information.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
A lot of folks come from other states that have different kinds of rules and regulations. When I was out collecting signatures last weekend, I ran into a woman who said, I can't vote here. And I said, well, why not? And she said, well, when I was 18, I ended up in prison, and she was in California. And I said, you know, that's not the case here. And I handed her a voter registration card. She was very surprised by that.
Yeah.
Very surprised.
This is one of the states this is a state that has one of the best systems of voter registration in the country. It's super, you know, people are given every right and every privilege to vote here. And that's one of the reasons it's so important that folks go out there and participate in programs like the Building Blocks, Building Votes program, in the Bus Project overall, in Engage Oregon, this conference coming up from January 6th to 8th, because we have these incredible freedoms that people fought for. Lou, you know, hearing your stories about growing up in an era when the battle was raging, when you were an active participant in that people have these rights. The fact that people my age might not remember a period when it was such a contentious thing to be participating in an election, we need to remember and we need to honor that and be participating in all elections, including the 2006. Just because it's not a presidential year doesn't mean it's not important.
We're going to be taking a break shortly here, and we'll be right back. This is KBOO 90.7 FM, and we want to remind you that we'd be glad to hear your calls at 503-231-8187, and we'll be right back with you very shortly. All right, here we are coming back to you, and I hope you've been jotting down your notes so you remember what it is that you want to share with us. Hopefully it won't be monologues like we just had, but we want to try to keep this more of a dialogue and a conversational kind of a situation here. And some of the things that we were looking at is... When earlier I was asking Mr. Lou Frederick about what was the process, what was the road that he followed to begin to get into actually deciding to be active as a candidate and eventually in office, I'd like to kind of shift it the same overall theme toward people that decide on political movements and issues and begin to want to formulate movements and organizations that way. And so maybe Mr. Gallon, that you could help us with kind of understanding what was the formative stages of the group that you're with.
Oh, wow. Well, the bus project, I wasn't involved in those earliest stages, but my understanding from it's almost like a legend at this point, because there were a group of friends who were, you know, tired of being disengaged, tired of seeing politics as usual, with people thinking that volunteerism was dead, thinking that people couldn't participate in a meaningful way unless they were like a cynical, seasoned political operative, you know, and they got together and bought a used bus, an old commercial bus, painted it with a Teddy Roosevelt quote that says, "A great democracy must be progressive, or else it will cease to be great or a democracy," which is painted on one of the sides of the bus. On the other side, it says Oregon Bus Project. And they started filling up this bus on the weekends with volunteers from the Portland area and taking them out to suburban, rural, exurban Oregon, and starting to build those kinds of relationships we've been talking about across the divide that people perceive between urban Oregonians and rural Oregonians. And that was where the term bus project came from. It was a project to fill up the bus and make some connections between people who felt like they might be very different at the beginning of the day. But that after some conversation and talking about the candidates that were running for office, that they were able to find some common ground. And then the bus has, of course, since then expanded. One of the incredible things it's done, I would say, is to be both a voter mobilizer and a political incubator. So it does do a lot of canvassing. We do canvassing in urban areas, including Portland and Eugene. We also go out to different places around the state where maybe they haven't seen a canvasser in a long time, certainly not a canvasser from Portland or Eugene. At the same time, it's a political incubator, so we have in the summertime a program called Politicor, which takes talented college students, brings them into the bus project for a summer, sort of steeps them in the political process in all sorts of classes, lectures daily from community leaders and political leaders, and then also gets them out on the streets and onto the phones doing the grassroots work of organizing, that it really takes all this hard work to really move an issue or a candidate. That's what the bus has become, but it started just as a group of people. It reminds me of the Margaret Mead quote that never doubt that a small, committed group of people can change the world. Indeed,
exactly.
It's the only thing that ever has.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I think we have a caller on the line, and so let's listen to this next caller. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go right ahead. We're glad to hear what you have to say.
Well, I'm enjoying your program, and I admired the adroit way in which you surrounded the last listener and brought something out of it. Can't remember what, but...
No.
Actually, I have a question. You know, you're talking about buses and sisters, and there were a group of young ladies, I believe they were high school students, and they were on KBU a few times, I don't know, months ago, a year ago, whenever, and they called
might
themselves...
Might have been Sisters in Action for Power?
That's it, Sisters in Action for Power. They must have added the for power, but Sisters in Action, yeah. I'm going to write that down. They were so great. They were really inspiring.
And young.
Yeah, really, and that's what's so encouraging to me. You know, I'm 68 years old, and I'm out here bouncing around. What would you tell a guy like myself, interested in what's going on but not really connected with anything?
Well, there are a lot of different groups that you could be involved with. I'm not sure what you're specifically interested in.
A person who basically came up through the underside. You know, Norman Mailer would have described me as a white Negro.
Ah, okay. I know.
You know, from bebop to senility, you know.
I don't think senility works in there anymore.
No, I work very hard to keep that out.
Okay, well, you are looking at a number of things that you'll find people are concerned about, and they are working on healthcare issues. They're working on environmental issues. They're working on economic issues as well. How do you get involved with young people to try to show them what's going on? Many years ago, I did a thing, well, not that many years, about 15 years ago, I did a program where I brought 10th graders, not fifth graders, into my house to listen to adults talk about what it was like to be an adult. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting a chance to talk with one child or a group of children in a SMART program or something like that in a school that makes a difference. And you can actually, there are a number of groups that you could get involved with. The Bus Project officially has or has an image of having young people involved, but in fact, it has a lot of folks who are not so young chronologically.
I got that feeling. Yeah.
There are a lot of. No, I've had to tease them because there are a lot of folks who think that cold pizza is the way that you're supposed to eat it, because that's they're of that age. But in fact, they are also an awful lot of people who've run for office, who have been organizing, who have been talking with people in their neighborhoods and their communities, and they're able to bring a historical perspective and institutional memory to what's gone on. And in fact, your history, your experiences would be excellent for them to hear about because they don't know that. They may know it by way of reading a book. You know, you can read Studs Terkel and you can get a lot of good stuff out of that. But if you listen, if you're sitting there talking with Studs Terkel, it's a different thing altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that a lot of people need to see.
I would also ask, I
agree. I have a lot of stories to tell that all have a positive moral kind of thing, you know, going in that same direction, you know.
Are your neighbors registered to vote? Do you know?
You know, I don't know. I live in this apartment complex with a lot of older people. I could certainly, that would be a start.
That would be a start. A lot of times they say a lot of success or accomplishment has to do with taking advantage or taking the opportunity that's right around you that you maybe just overlook every day. And so it doesn't have to be long lectures to people, but just casual conversations and sharing information, and
sure,
it builds
that
from there.
That could just be a standard habit among acquaintances and friends and so forth, even at work. You registered, you know.
Yeah.
That's one of the themes I've gotten out of the Bus Project is that notion about you were referring to people in the same neighborhood, beginning to actually talk with each other. A lot of times people live in a block or live in an apartment or whatever, and they come and they go and they see each other fairly regularly, but they don't really engage with each other.
They might not even say hi. That's one interesting. I mean, the fact that you live in an apartment building is incredible, because that's one of the things that we found in our program is that apartment dwellers are more likely than almost anyone else in our entire extended community to be isolated. I don't know if folks have heard about that book, Bowling Alone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but, you know, I knew that coming in.
Yeah. I mean, we shut ourselves away from each other and we don't know our neighbors. You might see someone in the elevator and not even say hi. And that's one of the things that I think is takes us away from the political process, because we don't even know what our neighbors think about the issues that are
absolutely
so vital out there. So I think, what our program is trying to do, among other things, is to get folks who live in these isolated environments or in a house on a block with lots of people outside all the time, whatever the environment is, getting people connected to the communities where they live, because we've become disconnected from what's just right around us.
That's no problem in my case, because we already do that. We have, you know, like picnics in the summer and everybody's
those are
invited,
excellent occasions,
but nobody's pushed, you know.
Yeah.
And
so,
one of the things I would suggest along that line is that there's been, especially since in the last two presidential election, a real emphasis on or gradual awareness or awakening to the fact that that people sometimes from fairly what appears to be fairly different political perspectives don't interact and interchange, because people take the approach of trying to preach to each other, try to convince each other rather than just kind of sharing argument. Some ideas like, well, you know, this, I'm kind of thinking about this and I'm kind of concerned about that, rather than trying to say, well, you must believe this and you must be a Republican
in other
words, or a Democrat.
To put it on an emotional level.
Get more into a dialogue and conversational kind of level. And that's a lot of what really builds relationships. And then from the relationships, no telling how far you can go or which direction.
No telling how far you can go. You know, you can set your own limits. I don't have to become the long lost friend of everybody I talk to.
That's for sure. Ms. Hagmar had something to say.
One of the things that happened in the last presidential election was that when Howard Dean dropped out of the nomination race, he was very clear that it wasn't about him. It was about winning the election. And became the biggest booster of the candidate that there was, and that was really a message to everybody else that we're always going to need the party, and you can be dissatisfied with the party, but if you are, you ought to be there in there trying to change it. And there have been a lot of people get involved with the party, and the party is changing, and it is much more integrated age-wise than it was when I started into it.
I've come to believe that.
And I will also say that it's a primarily volunteer organization, and you will be astounded at how fast you can be in a decision-making position.
sound like you're speaking from experience.
And you really can be part of changing how effective it can be.
I'm amazed at how it's really a return to old school politics. I grew up in the Chicago area, and there was incredible stories in the Chicago urban history about machine politics and, you know, someone on every precinct who's making sure that you vote and, you know, and it seems to me that Portland has a really an incredible history of citizen engagement and civic activism and neighborhood involvement. Oh, my goodness. There's
About the general coercion that you had.
Yeah. Without the thugs of Chicago.
One of the things I've noticed one of the things I've noticed just in terms of covering politics is that many times the effective movements in terms of getting the word out, they revolve around certain events. That's why organizers in your business are so important. And I think that if you're trying to get plugged in, seek out some of those gatherings and some of those events to familiarize yourself not only with the issues but with the people who are involved in promoting those issues. Many times those are events we cover
them,
as well.
I go to almost all the demonstrations, and I drift through and I pick up on, the crowd and so forth and get a feel for who they are. But I've yet to strike up a friendship with anybody out there. I'm very circumspect, when it comes to intruding on people's space.
Well, you already are showing that you're ready for the first couple of steps because of your calls tonight and the kind of things that you're sharing with us and the idea of that's the area of interest. I'm going to have to leave you now because we have another caller that we're waiting to get in, and we're very short on time. We're really
thank you for
this
the program
conversation.
Is running
very fast.
It very much.
Thank you very much, and stay tuned.
Bye.
Okay, is the next caller in?
Hello.
Hello, hello, we're here. Hi. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm Paul.
Yes, Paul.
I've kind of been observing things and over quite a while now, and it didn't dawn on me until today why it is that we are scrutinizing the budget and the things that affect the budget the way we are, and there has not been any real scrutiny over the spending that we do in Iraq.
What are you talking about, national budget?
Right.
Mm-hmm, go on.
I don't know how much they pay for bullets, but, a little bit of war money would go probably a long way towards education, after extracurricular activities for school children, Medicare, Medicaid.
Yes,
Medication.
Can I get an amen on that?
A few nodding heads in here.
Yeah, there's so much fat out there, and nobody's scrutinizing that at all.
Well, there are some who are trying to do that. And you have some folks who are in fact trying to now whether they get the kind of coverage, sorry Ken, but whether they get the kind of coverage at the national level in terms of media is another story altogether. But there are, in fact, groups, and I find myself regularly surfing the web and finding out those kinds of things. They are, and there are people like John Conyers who've been doing that very kind of thing.
We're just about wrapping up the show, and we want to thank you for calling in, and I want you to keep tuned to us. This particular program, Community Forum on Political Process, will be once a month, so the next time will be the fourth week, or the fourth Thursday in January, and we'll be back to you. So keep listening and keep involved.
Woo-hoo.